Hello, world. I'm Greg Batten. Stand by. Well, I've been thinking. So many wild, crazy, in many instances, horrible things happening in the world today. It's really out of control. That's why we're writing our book, The New America, Flood of Evil. I talk about a lot of things that I don't understand. Tragedies. Been in one recently. Lord woke me up in the middle of the night last night just praying for folks who've lost a loved one recently, lost a child recently. Is God in all of this stuff? Now that's a good question. If anything is beyond his reach, then he is not God. Everything abides under the control of God, and he promised to work all things together in such a fashion that good comes out of that, if you read Romans 8:28. If at this point in your life you've not picked a life verse, Romans 8:28 would be just an excellent one. I share with audiences all the time the demonic attack on our family, worst thing that ever happened at that time, has turned into something that God uses every day in our ministry. See? You never know. You don't want it. You go into that thing kicking, screaming. God's got a plan. The trial that had the potential to devastate God's plan became a pathway to a stronger faith. Many of us looking at that in light of politics in America today, and death via abortion in America today, pain and suffering, a natural part of life. It's in times of intense testing that we learn of God's individual love and his devotion for us. Nothing happens by chance with God. He always has a purpose in mind when he allows us to be tested. Sometimes it's to refine us. Sometimes it's to draw us closer to him. Whatever you're facing today, God knows the extent of your sorrow, your pain. Place your trust in him 100%. He will help you bear the weight of that trial and that trouble. It's a promise from Almighty God. What in the world is going on? Is this a sign of the times? Most people say, hey, it takes $1,000 just to rent a shack anywhere in America today. Not so. Let's go to Houston, Texas. They're falling. Austin's housing prices finally coming down to earth after a meteoric rise during the pandemic. Buying and renting a dwelling in the ever-weird Texas boomtown has become less expensive now. Just a couple of years ago, Austin's economic dynamism and allure to the West Coast transplants made it the place to be in America. But what in the world has happened now? In the last year, rents fell 7%. That's the biggest drop of any U.S. city in America. And home prices have fallen over 11%, more than any other metro area in America. Austin's home building boom is helping it avoid the severe supply crunch seen nationwide. It's expected to add more new apartments as a proportion of existing units this year than any other city in America. You know, as we fly around the country and I fly into Charlotte and Atlanta, whatever, I'm amazed at the number of apartment complexes everywhere, everywhere you look, and new ones going up all over the place. Yeah. So, what do you think about the United States Supreme Court and its members? Who is the strongest, most conservative? Who is the most liberal? So is she the weakest of the Supreme Court justices? Social media users shocked, slightly bemused at Supreme Court Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson's comments on the First Amendment yesterday. The Supreme Court heard Murphy versus Missouri, a case challenging the Biden administration's alleged coordination with big tech to censor messages. The case stemmed from a lawsuit brought by Republican-led states Missouri and Louisiana that accused the high-ranking government officials of working with social media under the guise of combating misinformation that ultimately led to censoring speech on topics that included Hunter Biden's laptop, COVID-19 origins, and, again, the real truth about face masks, which states argued was a First Amendment violation. Well, she took issue with that. My biggest concern is that your view has the First Amendment hamstringing the federal government in significant ways in the most important time periods. In other words, the government can make decisions. Hey, her comments quickly went viral, dozens of people insisting that hamstringing the federal government is literally the point of the First Amendment. God, great, Charlie Brown. So what's up, Giuseppe? Little ashamed, are you? That's sad. The fake president failed to acknowledge his seventh grandchild and fifth granddaughter, the estranged daughter of his son Hunter, during remarks at a Women's History Month reception at the White House yesterday. I see a future for all Americans, a future for my daughter and my four granddaughters. By the way, they're all incredible, Biden said. You should meet my granddaughters. Oh, you think I'm kidding? I'm not. What a phony baloney. On numerous occasions in recent years, Biden has claimed he only has six grandchildren, ignoring five-year-old Navy Joan Roberts, the daughter born out of wedlock to Hunter and Arkansas-based mother London Alexis Roberts. This preacher has experienced this time and time again. This is not the way I would want it or plan it. I mean, it just makes sense. However, I have more than one out of wedlock grandchild, and you know what? I love them all. What in the world is going on? Yep, strange, strange place in which we live today, isn't it? Here was a couple ingredients that was missing in the recipe of life. And of course, you get this all the time now. That's why you're so confused. A couple of stories I shared yesterday, I thought about them today. Do a little update. One of them had to do with young people not getting married. Some staying single till they're 35. And I don't know, it just didn't seem to gel. But I got to thinking about this. What do you need marriage for? Most of them are shacking up today. Yeah, they're not getting married. They're just living together. My significant other. And other stupid things like that being said. Yeah, pretty soon you won't be getting married till you're 80. Those stats are skewed. Sure they are. For crying out loud, that's what's happening. They're living together, not getting married. The other one had to do with a bloodbath. That's what the president said. Trump now. Bloodbath, if he's not elected. He was talking about automobiles, not a blood... Oh, I'll tell you what, I watched ABC News last night. Just want to kick the TV in. They play on that thing, and of course, they're part of those mealy-mouthed media folks. That's what they are. Don't trust any of those people. They're all a bunch of liars. They have all the answers, of course. The world as it is, as I see it, from the left-leaning loonies. How many have crossed the border? How many of the bad guys, really bad guys, have crossed the border? As the number of suspected terrorists reportedly plotting assassinations and deadly attacks in this country continues to grow every day, so does the risk of interference with this year's presidential election. Nobody seems to know what's going to happen. Historically, election cycles around the world have often faced disruption by the bad guys, the adversaries. Whether through election interference, threats of violence, or actual violence. For example, the commuter train bombings in Spain in March of 2004, carried out by Islamic terrorists, killed 193 people, injured 1,800, took place just 3 days prior to the national election. The coordinated attack is believed to be by many to have blown. That coordinated attack is believed by many to have influenced voters to reject a Spanish government that participated in the 2003 U.S.-led invasion of Iraq. Now here's the thought. Something hasn't happened, but something like this could happen in America. Another thing to pray about. Got this one from our unofficial news journalist for Hello World down in Tennessee. John, thank you. Hey, he pleads guilty. 80 years old pleads guilty. To what? A farmer has been caught illegally breeding massive mutant sheep to sell to private hunting reserves for up to 10 grand. That happened in Montana. Arthur Jack Schubarth, 80, who owns 215 acres in Vaughan, Montana, pleaded guilty to criminal charges of wildlife trafficking and conspiracy to traffic wildlife. Prosecutors say he illegally used tissue testicles from wild sheep killed by hunters in Central Asia and the United States to breed hybrid sheep for sale. Oh, on the days ahead, you're going to see some really strange, strange, scary things happening. The demons are loose, for crying out loud. Yep, he's jailed for breeding massive mutant sheep. What do you think? And someone posted on my Facebook page a picture of all the little rascals. Remember that? With a caption, when I was a kid, this was my idea of a gang to hang with. Girls and guys and black and white and skinny and fat and cool and dorky. No matter who you were, you just fit in here. And the question is posed, wouldn't it be cool if we could all play together once again? Yes, it would. Maybe this says it best. Don't be less white or less black or less Asian or less Hispanic or less Mexican. Don't be anything less than what God made you to be. And please stop falling for all that constant race-baiting narrative. We're all just people here. And hopefully your people saved by the grace of God and you're heaven-bound today. That's the best yet. Speaking of my Facebook page, some of you are weird. I put a picture up there of tomatoes, a sandwich, mayonnaise. I remember when we used to have that. What happened? Don't do that anymore. Anyway, you responded all over the country saying, how great those tomato sandwiches. They're the very best. And then some of you got weird saying, how about peanut butter and tomato sandwiches? Are you kidding me? And then you got even weirder. Cucumber sandwiches are the best. And then onions and peanut butter. A lot of you into bananas and peanut butter sandwiches. I think Elvis Presley liked that, didn't he? I was thinking about lunch. I was. For all the free spenders, there's no dignity quite so impressive and no independence quite so important as living within your means. Let me help you out here. 16 habits that will make you poor quickly. Smoking. You doing that? Alcoholism. Overpriced coffee. I know people that can't pay their rent, but they go to that very popular coffee spot. Gotta have their... That's another story. Eating out on a regular basis. How about bottled water? Yeah, I know. You get it from the tap's gonna kill you. Bah, humbug. Gambling. Buying brand name clothes. Get most of mine at Goodwill. Needing that new iPhone. Forgetting to cancel those free trials. I've fallen for that. Not paying your credit card in full. Unnecessary taxi and Uber rides. Another buck on a lottery ticket, eh? Forgetting to look for those discounts wherever you can find them. Oh, I'm a cheapo in that area. Impulse buying. Been caught by that one recently. And the worst of all, voting Democrat. Break you in a hurry. Good news. Good thoughts. Who said that? I really like this one because so many of you could say this today. If you knew my story of life, you'd understand how I know that there really is great power in prayer. To God be the glory, great things he's done, eh? Oh, this one is really good. You know what's crazy? It really is how the presence of God can completely change your mood, your attitude. It can do it in an instant. Maybe one worship song, one whispered prayer, one scripture verse can take you from the absolute worst mindset today to a place of peace and tranquility and real joy. There's nothing like the presence of God. Amen. Where's my Bible? Life 101, right after this. Hey, just got this from the mailbag. This is good. Dear Greg, I hope you don't mind me calling you Greg because you feel like you're my friend. Oh, I like this. I listen to Hello World. I love your show. I listen to you during the share-a-thon. I like the camaraderie between you and Mike Cox. Yeah, he's okay, I guess. It's such a blessing to hear you show how much you care for us. I'm also a northerner. Well, amen. God left me here for a reason, even if it's just writing notes. Well, I'll tell you what, ma'am, this was a very encouraging to us here at Hello World. I just want to say, may God continue to bless the world through your radio show. I appreciate God using you to bless me. For those of you that have access, Hello World, Greg Patton, join me on Facebook. That's Greg, G-R-E-G, Patton, P-A-T-T-E-N. Hundreds and hundreds have. Join me today, okay? I mean, I really do like new friends. Hello World comes your way each day at this time through the kindness of this Christian radio station, The Cross Church in Fort Wayne, Indiana, and Greg Patton Ministries. And we couldn't do it without you and your support, telling others about the broadcast, friending us on Facebook. Many of you, especially in the Tri-City area of Tennessee, doing just that. We say thank you very much. And for those of you providing funds on a monthly basis, oh, you're special. We need you. Greg Patton Ministries, preaching the Word of God coast to coast and around the world. Love to talk to you in your church. Oh, yeah. Get in touch. GregPatton.com. Greg, G-R-E-G, Patton, P-A-T-T-E-N. GregPatton.com. I need a revival and spiritual renewal for the church, a revival, or for you individually. You can have one, you know. The lessons of history are to serve us as we will observe and learn. Revivals and renewals bear striking similarities from the Old Testament to today. Acts 4:23 through 37, and Colossians chapter 3. Hey, you know, Scripture shows us God's people, you and I, go through periods of spiritual renewal. Sure we do, and periods of spiritual decline. We might think of these times like waves, troughs, mountains, and valleys in life. That's your history. You're not high all the time. You're not in the pit all the time. Try to stay down the middle. Pretty hard to do. During a renewal, during an awakening, there will not only be a great reviving of Christians, but also a large impact on the problems of society today. The renewal can last for many years, as did the Second Great Awakening in America, or it can be rather brief, as it was in the Third Awakening in the late 1850s. You know, when the winds of renewal have passed, the church may enter a period of lethargy, possibly going on for many years, and those cycles have already been repeated many times during the 2,000 years of our church history. It's not only that the Spirit of God cannot sustain the higher life for the Christian. Rather, now get this, the Spirit allows times of decline to cause His people to pray for growth and for power to get our attention. Back in the Old Testament, renewal came to the Israelites under King Jehoash in 2 Kings 11 and 12. King Hezekiah, 2 Kings 18, King Asa, 2 Chronicles 15, and especially under King Josiah, that 8-year-old king. That is an amazing story. I've preached it many times from 2 Kings 22 and 23. Awakening came at the time of Zerubbabel, the governor of Judah, during the return there from exile in Babylon. Read Ezra 5 and 6, and of course Nehemiah, another great portion of encouragement for all of us. Nehemiah 8, 9, 13, the governor of Judea and the rebuilding of Jerusalem. In New Testament times, awakening came upon God's people at Pentecost. Acts chapter 2, we read yesterday, the pouring out of the Spirit set a pattern that we'll see in later awakenings. You read of a renewal that prepared the infant church for the fierce persecutions that were going to come. Spiritual awakenings, whether in biblical or church history, manifest patterns that are very similar, often strikingly so. And we're going to talk about five big things that you can notice in a revival and making the church great again. But before that, I thought we would do a little test. Do you live your life with this attitude, if it's good for me, then it's good? Is your life even 1% error? I often say that Satan doesn't care if you're 99% biblical as long as you give him 1%. Now, that's kind of scary. Is your spiritual life today in neutral? God wants victors, not victims. He wants overcomers, not those that are overwhelmed. troubleshooting your Christian life? How you doing in that walk? Here's a couple of questions that might determine that. Do I constantly rely on Almighty God? Do you really, or is it only in times of trouble and heartache? Am I working hard at pleasing Almighty God? That's a great question for every Christian listening today. Do I really want to obey Jesus Christ? Obedience is the very best way to show that you believe. Doing exactly as the Lord commands and doing it angrily or happily, obeying Christ. Am I learning anything from the Bible? You should every day. What did you get out of the Word today as an example? What did you hear from God on Sunday at your church or Sunday school lesson? Do I put into practice then what I learn? Am I applying it? I ask my church that at the invitation every Sunday. You going to do it this week? Something that God spoke to your heart about? You going to do anything with it? Or is it the same old, same old? Have I given up in some areas of my life? Am I building aspects of God's character into my life? Am I a good disciple, in other words? Do I have a love for my fellow believers, those people who sit with me in church? We talk constantly about the big five for a Christian: reading your Bible daily, praying daily, serving God somehow daily, fellowshipping, loving my fellow believers, and being in church on Sunday. Am I willing to, this is so hard for me. Am I willing to love my enemies? Let's think about that one. God said we're supposed to, and I oftentimes say I have other thoughts for my enemies, and loving isn't in the equation. Yeah, it just shows the flesh is really strong there yet. Am I combating the flesh, the world system, lust of the flesh, the pride of life? How are you doing in the troubleshooting here? One more. Am I resisting Satan and his demons in the power of the Holy Spirit? God doesn't want you to sink. Oh, no. He wants you to soar, my Christian friend. So the question remains, how are you doing? So, you think it's true? I've witnessed it. That revival will come, preceded by a time of spiritual depression, apathy, gross sin, in which a majority of nominal Christians are hardly different from the members of society in the New America, and the church seems to be asleep. One of the things that fascinated me in the evangelical awakening led by John Wesley and George Whitefield aroused the English conscience, and by direct political pressure and action, cured many of the ills of society at that time. This is a fascinating time to live. We need a revival, individually and collectively. Don't you think? And finally, in case you're not sure, here's how to know that you have crossed the line. You are a senior citizen. Somehow you gain 30 pounds overnight. You'd rather stay in bed and sleep than go out anywhere. Everything from head to toe hurts. Comfort is more important than style. You do have a favorite spatula you use. Everything feels like a chore anymore. And those college students, they look like 12-year-old kids. Someone or something is always annoying you. This has just been a few things on our list of 999 things proving you are a senior citizen. What do you mean you missed last Monday? It's available at gregpatton.com. Last month, last year, I guess we can't say last decade yet. They're all there. Get a hold of us, my friend. gregpatton.com, and join me on Facebook. Same thing. Love it. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of you there. That's the way it is for Tuesday, March the 19th, 2024. I am Greg Patton. God bless. Have a great day.